Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Nats Town. Welcome to a late night edition of Nats Nightly, sponsored by the District Sports page and FederalBaseball.com. This is Patrick Reddington from Federal Baseball. I've got Federal Baseball's doghouse on the line. We told Dave to call in, but he's out in the woods somewhere, and I don't know if he's going to, but if he joins us, he joins us. Doghouse and Nats dropped a 6-3 decision to the New York Mets today, dropped 2-3 in the series to start the year. Not exactly the way they wanted to start, and not exactly the way Strasburg wanted the season to start either. 1-0, 2.77 ERA versus the Mets in two starts last year, four walks, 18 Ks. Got into a little trouble early, but ran into big trouble in the third. He left a 2-2 curve up for Curtis Granderson, but got a double play grounder on the next at-bat from David Wright, shattered his bat, and that was the first time around. Got the double play grounder the second time around. Ian Desmond bobbled it, though, threw late to first base. Got two people on there. Lucas Duda hit by a pitch in the next at bat. Michael Kadire comes up, singles to right. Daniel Murphy singles in the next at bat. Mets up 2-0 at that point. The hot hash flower narrative lives on. My Twitter starts blowing up with the he's not an ace talk. Tough to take for Strasburg when he really was basically out of the inning, got the two, the double play grounder he needed. Another error by Desmond to start the season. That's 3-3 games now.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating. This certainly was not the best Strasburg outing we've seen. His command wasn't there. Three walks and a hit by pitch. Only five Ks in five and a third innings. But not as bad an outing as it looked like on paper, because he gave up some legit hard hits, especially the two runs that came later. But you know, those four runs in that inning, some of those were tough. There were some flares, some bloops that dropped in, you know, just out of reach. But you know, that's baseball. This is why you should try to strike out every batter. Be as fascist as you want as a pitcher.
That's funny. Two innings in, Dave and I were sitting upstairs definitely joking about the fact that pitching to contact was working better than pitching to strikeouts, but it didn't work out that way in the end. Like you said, he ends up giving up four runs in the inning when Travis d'Arnaud dumps a little soft liner into center field. Matt Williams after the game says, you know, he had the double play with David Wright, and then a chopper off the plate, a broken bat single for two runs. I thought he threw the ball where he wanted to, considering he had limited starts in the spring. I thought he was sharp. I thought he pitched well enough to keep us in it at least, that's for sure. But the second time this year, we've seen the defense kind of let down. Matt Williams was asked if Desmond was pressing. He said, I don't know. It was a good double play ball. He just wasn't in position, didn't get his feet in the right position, and had to go off his glove there. We talked about this three times now in 3 days, but Desmond's defense a little bit shaky at the beginning of the season. We just have to get through this now annual part with Ian Desmond where he struggles at the beginning and then settles into the position.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he's trying to quit chewing tobacco again right at the beginning of the season. That didn't seem to work out so well last year. It's tough, especially when, you know, the Nats certainly aren't giving you an explosion of offense today, although someone pointed out that they're scoring one more run each game. So by the end of the game, or end of the season, they'll be winning 162 to something, because that's how that works, right?
That's math.
But they did manage to put up three runs today, and I think it was two of them against Hardy, who pitched very well, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later. But it's rough. The Nats are operating with very little margin of error here. It is a very good rotation, but even a very good rotation needs solid and reliable defense behind it. And you know, I started doing this as a joke when I put up the picture of Dan Ugla on my WBA post, but who's your big defender today? Who started a double play and then made a nice turn? I actually went back and looked at this, at that double play he turned in the seventh where he you know, dug that low throw from Escobar out of the dirt and then whipped it over to Zimmerman to complete the double play there. He's the one who's flashing the leather here with his stone glove. Come on, guys. Step up, Matt.
Danny Espinosa was supposed to be the plus defender, wasn't he? But now Dan Ugla is everything for this team. You mentioned that.
Well, he doesn't have the range of Espinosa, but
no. We'll see. Dan Uglesand hang around for a little while. As I tweeted today, stop trying to impress me with all your hustling, Dan Ugla. But you mentioned the so-called Dark Knight of Gotham, which is quite possibly the worst nickname I've ever heard for a baseball player. But Matt Harvey returning from Tommy John surgery, had done in October of 2013. I went back and looked at that. I was surprised again that he actually stopped pitching in August and waited all the way until the middle of October to get the surgery, which seems odd in retrospect. But back on the mound today, 1-1, 1.19 ERA, 1 walk, 22 Ks in Grapefruit League actions that we probably should have known what was coming. Last time he faced Strasburg, April 19th, 2013, 7 innings pitch, 4 hits, 1 earned run. Going out there today with a 97-mile-an-hour heater early, ends up 9 Ks, 91 pitches, a dominant outing against the Nationals, both runs that were scored, 3 runs that were scored, 2 of them against Alex Torres, 1 off of Drew Familia in the end there. Harvey actually went 6 scoreless, 1 walk, 9 Ks. It's just kind of amazing. Yeah. I wrote in my notes that he pwned Bryce Harper, too. Had Harper chasing high fastballs. Harper couldn't lay off the high heat all game, struck out repeatedly, missing high fastballs the whole time. And just kind of amazing to see Harvey come off and first start back from Tommy John surgery and just absolutely as dominant as he was before the injury.
No, it's incredibly impressive. I was thinking towards the end of the game that it's almost – they're pitching the opposite you'd expect each other. You know, Strasburg with a lot more experience, a lot longer time since his surgery. You expect him to be sharper. Of course, as you pointed out, he didn't have as much time in spring training to get ready this season. Whereas, you know, Harvey had a nice full spring training. But you know what do they always say about coming back from Tommy John? That you know your command and your secondary pitches are sort of the last to come back. But here we got 9 strikeouts and a walk today, pounding the zone, reasonably efficient, only gave up 4 hits. You know, this is going to be another annoying guy for us to watch for, you know, however long until he gets to free agency. You know, what's with this? Why can't the other teams just stand still and be terrible? I was going to say like the Braves, except they're 3-0 right now. You know, what's going on here? It's
the unbeatable Braves
rearing its ugly head to us. Yeah, hash brown Braves barbs are back.
Going back to Strasburg real quickly, he was up to 94 pitches after a base loading walk to Curtis Granderson in the sixth. Matt Williams makes a decision there to leave him in. He said he was only going to let him throw 90 to 100 pitches today because he was, as we mentioned, little less work than they probably wanted in spring training, so he's still kind of building. Matt Williams actually described this start as probably like the last spring training start, essentially, and kind of talked some of it away mentioning that, but he leaves Strasburg in to face David Wright. He takes a first pitch fastball to Wright, 6-0 at that point. You think they're testing Stras a little bit and wanting to see how he reacts there, or just, you know, he's one of their top starters on a team full of top starters, but what do you think of Matt Williams leaving him in there after he loaded the bases again that inning?
I can't get myself too worked up about it. You're in a big hole. These starters are all big boys. They're aces. See if you can get him to finish the inning, and then you bring Roark to start the next inning and let him throw two instead of having to switch it up in the middle of the inning. You know, I can see the logic. I don't necessarily agree with it because, you know, I'm the type that if I were a manager, I'd be pulling levers and pushing buttons and burning up my bullpen constantly. So, you know, probably he shouldn't have pitched it right there, but, you know, it's easy to say now. I noticed now that I was insisting in my head that the Nats had scored 2 off Harvey. I see it is off the estimable, was off the estimable Nats bullpen or Mets bullpen instead. Nice to see that they're still a little bit messy.
Buddy Carlisle wasn't safe for the ninth this time. Drew Familia came on late, gave up 1 run there. You mentioned Tanner Roark there. I also made Dave cringe with this one in my notes, and I said they need to find a real Roal for Roark because bringing a 50, a former
bad man.
15-game winner last time around. Dave kind of shushed me down and said, you know, they're just getting him work. DC guy from Federal Baseball said the same thing on a text message when I sent that to him. He was at the game today, so good to hear from him again. But and O'Rourke, a 15-game winner last year, ends up a junk-time reliever today. Two innings, one hit allowed. But I'm just of the opinion that if you're going to have this guy in the bullpen, even with the injuries and stuff you're having now, maybe get him in the seventh, eighth inning, give him a defined role. And as much as we're rallying against roles at times, it just seems kind of odd to have this 15-game winner from last season doing a little junk-time relief and middle relief. It seems to be the role he's settling into right now.
Well, that's a whole interesting discussion itself, and this is something that I would hope maybe Garrett would write about, is that the idea of having a starter as a reliever, and I'll just admit I don't know enough about pitcher development to really talk to this. If he adapts to a high-leverage relief role instead of more of the long relief role, which was his experience in the bullpen previously, and working as a starter, which he's been quite successful at it recently, if someone gets hurt, how easy is it going to be for him to transition back? And how flexibly minded or how adaptable would his mechanics have to be to switch back and forth comfortably between those roles? Of course, then I also think back to 2012 and the electrifying relief appearance that Jordan Zimmermann put in. But that was sort of a special case there.
Yeah, that's obviously the ideal. But I think the second thought that occurred to me after I thought that they need to find him a role was exactly what you just said, that if they get him into a 20-pitch guy who's going out there and giving his all, is he going to be able to get back to starting? You assume at least one or two of these starters are gone next year. Tanner Roark could slot back into the rotation unless the Nats go out and do something like sign Zach Greinke and finally bring him to D.C., but that's next year, of course. You have to wonder what sort of transition he could make. Maybe I will recommend to one of our stat guys to look into that and pick out some guys who have gone back and forth and see what they did with them, because I'm a little confused about what they're going to do with Roark right now. And then they might have just been getting him his work today, and I hope they'll kind of find a better role for him other than like a long inning or a mop-up guy. But interesting to see him going out there. And Matt Williams gave, make a completely abrupt transition, Clint Robinson to start in left field today, looked a little shaky on a few of those, kind of running in and then running back out quickly to make a few plays, but no damage done by his defense in left field today. Matt Williams said he wanted to get him in there against Matt Harvey too, a hard-throwing right-hander with a good heater, because that's the kind of hitters he's going to be seeing when he comes off the bench most of the time, late in games as a pinch hitter. And not a great game by him at the plate, made some contact on the balls, and no one else was hitting much on Harvey either, but 0-for-3 with a K there. And you got to start working these guys in and getting these bench players starts. It was something that they talked about and last year, Matt Williams going into it, and how you get these guys work early. And Clint Robinson, you're going to have to get him in there. Reed Johnson, you're going to have to get these guys. Espinoza hasn't really gotten a sniff of a game so far. You're going to have to work these guys in somehow.
Yeah, really, it's kind of looking like extended spring training up here at the major league level. You know, we've got still the Rendon, Worth, and Span are out. We've got Taylor actually doing some nice things in dribs and drabs here. But then you've got your non-roster invitees. Why are they playing so late in spring training? Oh, wait a minute. It's April. You know, there are going to be some games that part of which are tough to watch, kind of like today's was. Not that I watched today's game entirely, but it's going to be a long month until people start coming back. You know, and you mentioned Johnson's start today. I was thinking, yeah, he wasn't so great, and then I'm thinking, oh, compared to Tyler Moore, you know, get worse back in that lineup. We need his defense in left field compared to what's out there now, and certainly we need his bat and his superior beard in that clubhouse.
Good news is that Worth made a start in Potomac tonight, got some at-bats in there. Apparently Byron Kerr, James Wagner from the Washington Post were on scene talking to him, some quotes coming out of there, talking about how it's hard to see there, the field isn't quite what you expect from major league fields, so sounded like Jason Worth wants to get back, but he told Byron Kerr and the reporters that were there that he doesn't want to come back and hurt his team and wants to make sure he's ready when he does. But they could definitely use him coming back. Span probably next in line in the top of the order, and Anthony Rendon still somewhere down the line there. We still don't know exactly what's going on with him, though. Matt Williams did say today that they have him doing lateral movement now, which is something he couldn't do with his knee. But you really want Anthony Rendon more than the other two, but he's a big bat in that lineup and makes a big difference for the Nationals going forward.
Yeah, as far as Rendon goes, I don't want to put on my conspiracy hat here, but I'm not saying it was aliens, but it was aliens.
They got to take their time with him, though, and just like with Harper when he injured his knee 2 years back, you don't want this to become a long-term or even, just for the season, something that nags him all along. And much as they want to get all these guys back, you have to make sure they're ready, like we're said, and make sure they're contributing and not coming back and harming the team when they're there. But Nationals dropped 2-3.
No, I certainly agree with that. But it's frustrating. Let's wait the extra week or 2 weeks or whatever it takes and get him 100% so we can stay the whole season. But it's gonna be some ugly infields. Not to take back my ugly love here.
So just wrapping up the quick first week in Nationals Park, any thoughts on opening day and the way the Nationals handle all this? I was particularly impressed, I should note, the way they handled last night's rain delay when everyone was out completely wondering what they were doing, waiting for that extra hour before the game started. But successful homestand to start it, even if there wasn't success on the field. It was nice to be back and watching baseball in Nationals Park.
Oh, absolutely. And I have to say, D.C. Washington is in midseason form already. He killed it.
That was great to hear, even through the closed windows and press box. D.C. Washington sounded great and had him do it an hour before the game, and it was kind of a highlight that got me through until they actually started. So tomorrow night they're going to be in Philadelphia, Citizens Bank Park, Gio Gonzalez on the mound. Be nice to see Gio get started. He came in here really determined, so we'll see what he's able to do. Matt dropped 2-3 to the Mets, 6-3 to today. Good for Matt Harvey coming back. I don't want to cheer for a Met, but I don't cheer for injuries either, and I'm kind of disappointed we're not going to see Wheeler this year, so it's good to see Harvey back on there. Good to talk to you, sir. Thanks for staying up late so we can do this once I got home from New Jersey. Hopefully we'll talk to you tomorrow night. Hopefully Dave will be calling in from wherever he is out in the woods, too. So talk to you tomorrow night.
Go Nats.